A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, Grapple fans. Welcome to episode 103 of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. I am your host, Danny Wills, joined as ever by my Xavier Woods to the Big E. It's Guy Drinkle.
What up?
You have to play a trombone now.
Oh, God. You have to do a shit. Have you watched SmackDown this week? You have to do it. If you watched the SmackDown this week, you have to do a crap Aussie accent.
I just can't take much more of them New Day skits and hearing pancakes and stuff like that every week.
Maybe we need to find a new group.
Yes, we do. We need to find a new tag team to become and morph ourselves into one. No, the one that isn't bored and stale. Anyway, look, this week's edition, of course, we're here to look back on Hell in a Cell, the pay-per-view. Bell to Bell, quite an interesting one. I know when we previewed it last week, Guy, we thought this could actually be quite a fun one, especially given that it's a gimmick pay-per-view, because they're not always that great. They do get a bit too caught up in the gimmick itself. But this kind of worked quite nicely, and I don't know about you. Overall, it wasn't like a classic. I wouldn't put it up there as, you know, amongst the best pay-per-views I've ever watched, but it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, it's probably the first time in a while you could probably say the majority was undoubtedly good, and on a main roster card, I should add to this, it's probably the first time in a damn why we've said that, because for me personally, I skipped the mixed tag team match, which made it even better.
You picked the right one to skip.
Yeah, absolutely. So there wasn't really a bad match for me. There was a couple bad moments, but we'll get to them later on. But no, I really enjoyed this pay-per-view, and I think it's exactly what we thought it would be, didn't we, Andy? Not groundbreaking. It's not going to top some of the highest of the highs, and it's not going to be takeover worthy. But it was sure as hell fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, like you say, there was one match that I thought stunk and a couple that were just kind of okay, but there was a lot of stuff that was good there. And we did mention, as much as, you know, I said, look, 10 years ago I'd have been interested in seeing Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy. The build was... It had its interesting moments, I think, from the sadistic nature of Randy Orton more than anything else. But as we both suspected, there were some highlights within this, and certainly a moment where I very, very nearly parted with my dinner.
I think Vince has finally... He must have saw Jeff Hardy walking past one day and just went, what's he done to his ears? and just thought of all these spots, didn't he? But no, it was brilliant in a disgusting way. And I really enjoyed this match, Andy, to be fair. I think it used the cage quite well. I think he got the mad spot that Jeff Hardy was promising, because he hit that table like an absolute sack of shit. And yeah, I thought it was just good throughout. And... I think it may have been really, 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 really overdue, but even on SmackDown this week and the build in this feud, Randy Orton as a heel is it's like different ends of the scale compared to the face. As a face, he's just crap. As a heel, he's very much a top tier talent in WWE and character as well. And it's good to see, and they're doing it well. It'll be interesting to see who he goes on to next. But I thought this feud was done really well, and the match ended up being a big payoff in my opinion. And I may have been slightly disappointed the WWE title match didn't get Hell in a Cell, but I think this match, it used it so well, it made me forget about that.
Yeah, I think you made a really good point in there, you know, that Randy Orton, as a babyface, is just vanilla. He really is. But as this, you know, in this sadistic heel role that he has done before, so he knows the character well, he just portrays it so well, and it's more convincing, and he looks more comfortable, and I dare say it looks like he's enjoying himself in a sick way.
Yeah, he is.
And I think Jeff Hardy was kind of having fun in doing that. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, you mentioned, you know, this was a good payoff. I wouldn't be surprised if we get another match somewhere down the line, you know, so that Jeff Hardy can have his moment. But yeah, we could see what was coming when he was swinging from the cell, and yet nobody had done that one before. So it was unique, it was different, it was something to remember it by, something to take home other than just a screwdriver through the earlobe.
I think both got good reactions as well, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, even though you could see what was coming, you knew what was going to happen, but still, you didn't want to turn away because you just wanted to witness it, and that is the madness of Jeff Hardy, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're not his biggest fan, but I think as even you, when you saw it was going to be him in a Hell in a Cell match, you were like, yeah, he's going to do something absolutely mental.
Yeah, and to the point where I kind of feared, like, is he going to go too far, you know, and to try and get that pop and give the audience something memorable, is he really going to end his career so soon after his brother's potentially here, you know, having to retire himself?
Yeah, that was the one concern, but no, I think he protected himself quite well, because I know he was high up, and it was a big spot, but it's probably not the same damage as jumping off the top onto the announce table, which I was kind of expecting. But no, it was unique, and I think it was well thought of. But yeah, I think both of them have profited quite well from this feud, and whether we want to see it or not, you could probably see them. You could probably see them both in main event ish type settings on SmackDown. Maybe not on big pay per views, but I think they're both long term ish and could still do main event jobs.
And that's good in that both guys come out of this for the better. One final note: the puncture wound on Randy Orton's leg, yeah, that wasn't nice either.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was,
that was not so, a bit of skin hanging off.
What caused that? Because it was horrendous.
I'm not really sure. Yeah, it was not nice. There was all sorts going on there. Yeah. Anyway, so Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. I said this had the potential to become match of the night. I don't think it was. There was a couple of little moments in there that might show up on the Botchamania show reel, but it was still a good match, and I think the ending was well done, and obviously got a huge pop from the crowd because they loved it, even though Becky Lynch is supposed to be a heel. But what I get from this is there's more to come from these two, and I think as they go on, you know, we probably look at another 2-3 matches from them, and I do suspect that they'll just get better and better as they work more and more in the ring in front of the crowd.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good match. It had an excellent build. It's what we wanted from the women's division on SmackDown, wasn't it? And I know she wasn't there, but we've slated Carmella in the past for bringing down the quality of matches tenfold and going over people who she shouldn't be going over on. But I thought this one was perfect. As you said, there was a couple dodgy moments, shall we say. But I thought the ending was quite good. It was quite clever and quite sudden. And then after the match as well, with the going to raise her arm and stuff like that, I thought it was quite clever, and I think it's a real good character development, and your shout last week about the double turn. Should be putting money on that, Andy.
It's definitely
coming, that one. Because, well, Becky's probably, other than Ronda, she might be the most popular woman in the company.
Well, did you see the tweet from Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yes, but remind me.
I think it's just showing that love. That's, for me, speaks volumes. There's a lot of people from the business showing their love for Becky Lynch. I think they really appreciate what she's doing. Mm. Not just the ring work, but this ability for her to develop a character and show a bit more than the nicey babyface, you know, the stereotypical babyface role. And this edge to her, I just think she's naturally and, you know, organically transforming into a badass babyface, you know, the anti-hero.
When you say badass, you have to do a Stone Cold voice. That's badass!
Well, it's probably the closest thing you get to a female version of Stone Cold in the organic way that she's changing. And you just hear in that crowd, they're more tuned in, they're more interested in her. And I know she's, you know, probably it's on the mic, she has to reject that and everything. But yeah, I don't know. Charlotte's much more comfortable as a heel.
Yeah.
The flip is there. The double turn is on for me. It's still on. And with good planning, you know, we could see the female version of Bret Hart versus Stone Cold at WrestleMania 13. And these two are capable of doing it, in my view.
Yeah, I haven't seen the Stone Cold Bret Hart one, but I think there's definitely that the potential. I'm not sure when it'll take place, maybe at Evolution, but that, as I think you said it last week, the turn doesn't mean that Becky has to go back to being smiley, wavy, Bailey, well, half Bailey, let's say. But I think it's definitely on, whether it's at Evolution, Survivor Series. I was going to say the Saudi one, and then just remembered they can't go, which is
don't mention that, folks.
Yeah, remember that. Here's a women's pay per view to make you forget it. but whatever. I think it's Extreme Rules. That might be a good one to do it actually, because they'll probably get more focus. But yeah, it's definitely a feud. I'm quite enjoying, and I'm looking forward to more on SmackDown. Especially with Rusev Day dying. I need stuff to replace him. I had to bring it up, Andy. I'm sad.
I really felt your pain there. I really do feel your pain. But maybe he just puts Aiden English more in focus.
Be like Elias laying down the guitar. Just wood. I need wood. Yeah.
So, I mean, as you alluded to, SmackDown, and that is the thing, that they've took it on, that they've kept this going, and just the way that that Becky Lynch is delivering the lines, you know, with such, I don't know, there's just real sharpness to the way she delivers. The crowd are really on it. This is a good feud. It's, you know, it's building nicely, and there's plenty more to come. And like I said, I just expect these two to just get better and better as they continue working together. So
yeah, we saw it with Sasha, didn't we? And Charlotte in the first one, it kind of grew into some great matches. So I'm seeing the same thing here.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good reference. Next up, for me, without a shadow of a doubt, the match of the night, one of the best matches of the year, the Raw Tag Team Championships, Seth freaking Rollins, who is on fire no matter what he does, Dean Ambrose, losing as we would expect, and that's, you know, I think it was the right decision as well, to Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. And yeah, we've seen a reignited Dolph Ziggler. Drew McIntyre looks legit. He looks main event worthy. This for me was just fantastic. I loved every minute of this match. I mean, it went nearly 25 minutes and it didn't feel it. It felt like 10. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, undoubtedly match of the night, as you said. It had everything. It had high spots, high flying, Drew McIntyre being brilliant, and yeah, he's quickly becoming my favourite thing on Monday Night Raw. Because he's just perfect at pretty much everything. I mean, I think on his NXT run, I think it's pretty clear that he's a better heel than he is a face. But I think in NXT, he showed he can get over as a face. So I think he's pretty much Vince's wet dream at this stage, because if you look at him in his first run, he's quite small. And now he looks about 8 foot tall and about wide as a house. And he's terrifying. And he's the big winner in this feud for me. I think we mentioned in the preview that it's a shame that the Intercontinental title's in a tag team match, but I soon forgot about that when the quality of the match happened. But yeah, if this ends up with, I don't know, Drew having the IC title and then moves on to the main event once the feud's over, I could see that happening, because he is absolutely money. He's a star. I think we said it on the last week, he's probably the best call-up, I think we said, apart from Charlotte. And if his trajectory is as good as I hope it is, he could surpass Charlotte. Because he's making such a big impact in such a small space of time. He is just brilliant. And he could have the same impact as a heel as I think we've been saying Joe has been. He's that good. And I'm not sure how old he is. I'm not sure he's that old. But he could be one of the best heels in the company for years.
Yeah, I think he's still got plenty of gas in the tank. yeah, he undoubtedly took the right decision to get his release. Go up, work some of the independent scenes, really hone his craft, work on his character, developed his talking skills. Obviously, physically, he looked bigger. He carries himself, and that's a big thing. He just carries himself like he is a main eventer.
He's 33.
Yeah. There's still plenty of time, you know. There's a good 5 years at least. So, in wrestling terms, he's probably around about peak years, because it's that mixture, isn't it? Of you're still young enough to physically be able to go and have enough bumps left in you, but you've also gained some experience. You've developed your in ring work, and you've also developed your mic skills and the confidence. So, it's that sort of 30 to mid to late 30s. It's often really the peak years for a wrestler, so there's plenty to go. And what about the finish, though, Guy? I thought the way that they did the finish...
Fantastic.
The timing was just impeccable.
Yeah, absolutely. Which one of the Shield was doing the move? I can't remember. Was it Seth?
It was Seth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the superplex up ready for the Falcon Arrow, and
yes,
in comes
that was it.
Drew
yes.
McIntyre. I mean, just impeccable timing, and all done so smoothly.
Perfect, yeah. It was absolutely perfect, and I think that's what it gives you with when you have a finisher like Drew's. It's quick, it's sudden, and it can produce finishes like that. I mean, sometimes you see it with submission specialist. I think Joel, for example, let's use him as an example. You can't really do that quick finish with him, because his finishes are the muscle buster and the coquina clutch. And I think with a finish like that, it's quick, it's sudden. It was almost a surprise. And as you said, the match was 25-ish minutes. But it almost felt like that could have went on another 10 minutes and nobody would give a monkeys. It was just a brilliant match. And as you say, it's just brilliant. And I think it's almost reminiscent of NXT tag matches. Because apart from the Usos v New Day last year, the tag team division hasn't been that great on both shows. I mean, we had The Bar had a good run.
Yeah, The Bar with anybody has generally been very good.
Yeah, but I think they've always struggled to get it on both shows, having good tag team runs, haven't they? And they've always kind of panicked and had this Shield revival, or half a Shield revival. But now on both shows, let's say, I think they've got a decent balance, because I know it was on the pre-show, but even the SmackDown title match was fairly good.
Yeah, I love tag team wrestling, always have done.
It's got such potential.
It has. I think it serves a great purpose at times. It really does. it's such a useful tool for launching people, for you know, people like Cesaro and Sheamus, who creative aren't too sure quite what to do with. You can put them together and you can get them really hot. So, and as much as anything, you know, the real true sort of experts at it could make it look so good, and the crowd love it. And again, you're setting up the hot tags and things like that. So it's some of the best matches over the past couple of years between the main roster and NXT have been tag team matches. So
yeah,
for years it was underappreciated. I'm happy to see the fact that the tag team wrestling is back where it belongs, and that's right at the forefront of the events and people's minds, and really enjoying it. So yeah, that was a fantastic match. And what did you make of the WWE title match then?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I quite enjoyed it. Yeah. That was the worry, wasn't it? Was the finish again? And that's the only bad thing for me, was the finish. The Joe getting a tap out and pinning of the shoulders. That's the only down point for me. I think it was
really.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're going to disagree here then, because I enjoyed the match. And I do think that there's still more from them. I actually quite liked the finish in the way that it was executed. I thought it was executed really, really well. My only concern with it is where we've had this kind of questionable sort of finish, you know, like who was the questionable outcome, should we say, of the decision, who should have actually won that match, was Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And the guy who we were supposed to cheer, which was, you know, the way that it was portrayed, which is Roman Reigns, is the guy who was on the wrong end of how the decision should officially have gone. So that's the only thing I would maybe question on this, is like, shouldn't it really be the heel who's actually won, but the face has got the valid point of, hang on a minute, I should really have won that match. I've been, you know, shortchanged here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the way that they did it was really good, but it's the psychology of it. It's the only bit that I might question, but I like how they did it, and obviously it gives something else to this feud, then it can move it on to in a slightly different direction, so it doesn't have to focus purely on AJ's family now.
I think for me, Andy, the problem is that AJ's just had this exact same feud and same finishes with Shinsuke. That's probably my issue with it. He obviously didn't have the false count thing, to my memory. But we've had so many dodgy finishes to AJ matches in a few months. And maybe I'm just getting a bit bored of it. And I know it's always high drama with the WWE titles and Universal titles. But I just want a clean finish. They seem to be always building to the next pay-per-view, and it doesn't help that there's another 25 pay-per-views in the space of a month. But I think, again, we keep referring to the preview, but I wouldn't mind the WWE title getting swapped about every few months at this stage. If AJ and Joe went back to, like, had a back-to-back feud where they swapped titles for two or three times, it would work perfectly for me.
Yeah. I think that this really was the opportune, you know, way to have done it, in that, you know, if the kind of roles reversed almost, that imagine that the referee had gone for the tap but not actually realised that he could have counted AJ's shoulders, you know, then AJ can say, you know, really, I should have actually been declared the winner of the match, but Joe's got the belt, and then they can have a rematch, and then because my guess is from this is they don't intend to take the title off AJ. So then they could have switched it back to him. It's just another way of switching up and making it that more interesting. I guess storyline purposes, this is a way to get another match, because if you'd have had another clean finish, or if you'd have had a clean finish, then that would be it then, wouldn't it? Why should Joe get another match if he's just lost clean? So...
There is a way to fix that. Joe bloody win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there is that, but I don't know. I don't think they're going to go in that direction, unfortunately, which is a shame. It was a shame for both people. I think it would be good for the show. I think it would be a lot of fun watching, and certainly interesting watching Joe carry that title, give the promos.
Yeah.
And then more interesting to see AJ chasing the title again as the babyface and let people get behind him.
Well, we've been saying that for months now.
But
obviously on SmackDown, they announced that Miz v. Bryan's going to be the Aussie thing, and then the winner goes on to a WWE title match. Do you think that hints at this Aussie one's going to be the last one between them? And if so, that would probably hit the AJ winning for me.
Yes,
they'd have to do the rematch if Joe won, obviously, unless we're just overthinking it. But if it goes with AJ winning, that's going to kind of annoy me, because that's two very promising heels that AJ's gone over. And I know it's not him making the decision making. I'm sure AJ would probably love to drop the belt to his mate, Joe. It'd be such probably a big moment for them privately. But we're running out of people he can feud with unless he turns heel.
I think you're right. I think that's why we've also had Miz and Maurice going over so far, that Daniel Bryan's going to get this win, and then we're going to get the dream match, so to speak, you know, for wrestling purists of AJ and Daniel Bryan. So
I think it's going to be on the Saudi thing,
it's probably
thing,
telegraphed.
It?
Yeah, it's probably telegraphed, but it'll be a fantastic match, but it's a shame that other things couldn't have been done in the meantime, but not to worry.
Yeah, and unless they're doing Miz for AJ, but that'd probably be disappointing, let's be honest. But it's a weird one, but I think we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit. But I hope Joe wins the bloody title. That's about it. But the most concerning thing for me is that AJ is getting a bit stale. So maybe if it does end up being Bryan, he might turn heel or something like that. So that might work a bit better than just him burying every talent on the roster. But I think it was a good match overall.
Yeah, I have to agree. Well, I thought it was a good match, and like I said, I did enjoy it. I do think there is more to come from them, and like we said, you know, I suspect this thing in Australia will probably be the last chapter, unfortunately. And hopefully we'll see more of them in the future. I mean, we mentioned Miz and Daniel Bryan. Let's get it out the way. Miz and Maurice defeated Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella.
You'll have to take in
a god awful match. Yeah, it was. You took the right time to go for a piss.
Oh no, I didn't. I just skipped it.
I fell
asleep hard. I stayed up watching the box in the previous night, so I was absolutely buggered. Yeah. So I just went to sleep.
It was pretty awful, in all honesty. Maurice, yeah, I know she's not that long given birth and whatnot, But that was a glimpse into the bad old days of the Diva era, where we had champions who could barely wrestle at all. It was not good.
I imagine Brie was almost as bad.
She made Brie look good. That's how bad. Yeah, that's the other part of the whole Evolution pay-per-view is I worry that we're going to get a bit too much ring time with people who
at least
just...
the NXT titles on there, the women's titles on there.
Yeah, and, well, that's something.
The Mae Young thing finishes there as well, doesn't it?
So yeah. Yeah, so anyway, less said about that match, the better. It is what it is, and
hopefully
let's
forget about it and just go on to the 1v1 match.
Yeah, it's been a thoroughly disappointing feud, in my opinion, and the in-ring work has not gelled at all, and hopefully the Australia thing hopefully they have a good match, and that is the end of it, and Daniel Bryan can move on. Quite frankly, to people who can hang in the ring with him one-on-one. I know that might sound harsh, but that,
hopefully the crowd will be into it a bit more. I think I heard it was 60,000. I'm not sure if that was the Saudi one or the Aussie one.
Yeah, the Aussie one, yeah. MCG's it is a big place.
Yeah. So if there's 60,000 people, I imagine it'll be quite very, very pro. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, the only thing that there is... because it's open air and you get the whole thing of the sound lifts and it leaves and it goes out, within a closed arena, the sound stays and it reverberates. Yeah. So there is that potential that you do lose a little bit of that. But, the Aussies will be mad to see it all happen. Obviously, it's a big thing for them to put a big event on in front of them. So I'm sure they'll be going mad for Daniel Bryan. So despite it being open air, I'm sure you'll still feel it. So, yeah, that was that one anyway. let's get past.
We
the
got
crap.
Some decent minutes out of that match considering I haven't watched it.
Yeah, the review was better than the match. Ronda Rousey with Natalia in a corner defeating Alexa Bliss, who had Alicia Fox and Mickey James in her corner. This went longer than I expected. Sorry. And was more varied than I expected, but I guess they were kind of smart enough to use the whole rib injury thing as a way to add more time to it.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done, to be fair. I think we all knew that Ronda was 100% winning, but I think it was really well done, and I think I'm not sure if this is what this is probably what they wanted. They wanted to see Ronda selling other people quite well. Obviously, we've just seen pretty much squash matches, to be fair. I know Nia got in a bit of offence, but she's just had squash matches, really. And in this one, Alexa run most of the match, and I think that worked quite well. And Ronda's just getting more impressive by the week at this stage. She can sell, she can dominate, she can squash. Maybe we just gotta help her run matches a bit better. That might be the one thing to do. But when she's onto a higher caliber of opponent, I know Alexa Bliss is very good, but she's still not in the Charlotte division or Becky division or whoever. I'm really looking forward to seeing the scope of Ronda Rousey at this stage, because she must be breaking all expectations, even from the higher ups at WWE, who probably watch her daily, because she's just delivering in every regard. I think the only weakness we've seen is promos. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, and that's just going to come with time.
Yeah,
feeling comfortable talking in front of people like that, other than just straight out answering questions. Obviously, UFC is a very different thing, but what you see is them natural fighting skills from her. You know, obviously from her MMA, from her judo, and everything else. She's just so good. She is just so good. She is so quick. It's incredible. And the one match that I would love to see. The one opponent I would love to see Ronda in there with, for me, is Asuka. I think, just them two with the kicks and the blows, delivering between them the way that they're both, You know, the way that they're both packaged and the speed at which they both deliver. For me, that could be so much fun to watch. But I think you're right. She's got to be well ahead of schedule and ahead of anybody's expectations, despite, you know, the caliber that she come in, you know, track record of achievements that she's coming with.
Yeah, she's. I think everyone had slight doubts at the start, but I think now people can see she's a marketing machine, and she's not letting anyone down. It's not like, let's say Goldberg, because his return was fairly awful. It's not like that. She's going the extra mile by the looks of it. I'm not sure what it's like behind the scenes, obviously, but she is basically just one of the women on the roster now. She's not squashing people. Obviously she did Alexa Bliss that one time, but she's having genuine matches, and I'm not sure how old she is, but I imagine she's got a good few years in her left. And she's probably one of the biggest stars already, and it's so young in a WWE career, and obviously she goes off and she'll probably be going off and doing movies at times like that. So I think it's a really, she's got so much potential, and with the movies and stuff, she can obviously keep fresh because she won't be on screen all the time if she does have to go off and do movies. So I think she's just going to be brilliant, and obviously there's the rumours of a main event in WrestleMania and stuff like that. Maybe not ready for that, but maybe in a year or two. I don't think anyone would be disappointed if Ronda V Asuka or Ronda V Charlotte was main event in WrestleMania.
No, it's one of the obviously we, as WrestleMania comes around, we end up with kind of three or four main events. One of the main events, I don't think anyone could complain at all, and I think you're right. She's certainly heading in that direction. Yeah,
to be fair, she was like the best thing at this WrestleMania already.
I mean, I didn't think this was like a great match or anything like this, but I thought it was quite good. It was. Like you say, it was a sign of a development, and yeah, I think she just needs something else now. It needs a new sort of direction to move into, and because inevitably Alexa Bliss is going to start working towards that whole build for the match with
Trish
Stratus. So it'd be interesting where they go, but yeah, the sky is absolutely the limit for Ronda Rousey. So that just leaves us with Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell match. If we forego the actual finishing segment, because you can't just call it a finish because it took about 5 minutes to do the finish. What did you make of the actual time that these two were actually duking it out one on one?
All 3 minutes of it. I predicted this would be match of the night, and I think it's fair to say it was disappointing. I think it was building into something alright, to be fair, and it just kind of died a death when the other two members of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out and Drew and Ziggler came out. I just think it died a death at that moment, and that was one of the concerns we had, wasn't it? And It had some nice spots. Obviously, Braun was dominating quite a bit. There was a few steel step spots that were quite stiff, and steel chairs, etc. And then Roman Reigns spears him, and they're literally down for 15 minutes. It was like, what the hell? It just seemed really stupid. And I think that's the best way you could put it. We obviously haven't mentioned the actual finish, but I just think from pretty much after about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes to not be as harsh, but 10 minutes onwards, the match just got really stupid, in my opinion. And I think most of us probably expected Drew and them lot to come out, but it just went a bit too far. All of them getting on the cell. I imagine most people expected someone was going through the announce table at some point, but it just seemed really stupid.
It looked too contrived to go through the table. It's like, I think for what those four guys had already given in terms of that tag team match, we didn't need them to come out and do big high spots. And if the storyline, you know, if their thinking was storyline wise, well, if Lesnar comes out, surely, you know, the backup would come and do something about it. So you have to get the backup out of the way in order for Lesnar, you know, to come clearly out and not have anyone get in his way. So that kind of makes sense. But for, that could easily have just been Ziggler and McIntyre show up and then the Shields show up and the four of them go off into the crowd brawling. You could have that done and dusted within a minute, couldn't you? And then you don't need Reigns and Strowman, you know, who two guys who show superhuman strength and, you know, keep kicking out of virtually anything to roll and lay out on the floor for, you know, for over 5 minutes whilst these other guys are doing their spots and then Lesnar coming out. So for me, it was just the way it was so drawn out and executed at the end is, and I do think that whole bit of going through the table was just unnecessary. Really, I don't think it needed that, in my view. I mean, for the match itself, I thought it was pretty decent. It wasn't as good as some of the stuff that they've done before, but it was still quite good. It was a bit fun. It was all right. And yeah, and then the finish kind of just takes you out the moment, and it's that silliness, isn't it? That, you know, these two guys are so strong, and you can't keep them down. However, all it takes is one to deliver a spear and they're both laid out on the floor for 5 to 10 minutes waiting for Lesnar to come. So, I mean, that whole visual thing though of Lesnar kicking the door in, I mean, that itself, I've got to say, that looked really good.
Yeah, it was quite cool, and especially with the big red cell, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It looked a bit better. I quite liked Brock coming out, to be fair, but he F5'd them once, and then that ended the match. It's hell in a cell. That's not how matches end. They pretty much go on until one of yous is dead. And some bloke just comes in and does one move on you, pretty much. It just seemed a bit daft. It seemed to break kayfabe, if that's how we're going to word it. So yeah, I cannot. We obviously know why Brock came out, because he's like the Saudi thing, and they've obviously, let's say, invited him with benefits to probably come back a bit earlier than he imagined.
Here's a potato sack full of money. Please come and wrestle.
Oh, I lost this money bag of money. but yeah, I think it's all right. They just seemed a bit stupid. And as you said, it was kind of cool seeing Brock kick the shit out of the door and stuff like that. It was like almost reminiscent of Kane. Probably it's never going to be as iconic, but it would have been cool if he ripped it off rather than just kicked out. I thought he was going to start twatting people with it, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd say it was kind of like it had potential, but it was the way that it was all done was a little bit nonsensical, and I just think, you know. Just, you know, to set all that up just for a pop for them to go through the table, I don't think it needed it. And them guys are given enough. They'd had their moment. And, you know, I don't know. It took me out a bit. It just felt a bit silly and a bit too drawn out. It's a shame, really. It wasn't the best ending to what, on the whole, though, I've got to say, was a pretty good pay-per-view, and then, like we said at the beginning, you know, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's probably been one of the best ones since Survivor Series last year. I think that was undoubtedly one of the best ones in memory. So I think it's probably been the best since then, undoubtedly, for me. I know SummerSlam had really big highs and some lows. WrestleMania was like half good, half bad. So I think this one, overall, it may have had one of the worst matches, but I think the rest of it was quite good. Some of it was very good. So yeah, hopefully post-Brock era, I know he ended up on it, but this is a good start to the post-Brock era of pay-per-views.
Yeah, and again, The only other thing as well for me is that's the Money in the Bank briefcase gone.
Yeah, that's
so
such a
really
waste.
It was that again to me. That was, yeah, it just, what a waste of the briefcase.
Yeah, and I think the briefcase is kind of turning into that now, isn't it? It's not had that moment. It's not had that big payoff moment for a while now. I can't really remember the last memorable one.
It needs to be on a breakout heel. That's what it really. Yeah. That's the for me is the whole purpose of that briefcase is a breakout heel, and then we get the payoff, and then it means something.
Thing is, it could have been a face this time as well, because obviously if Brock's a heel champ, so it could have been huge for. I can't even remember if Finn was in it, but if Finn was in it, imagine if he cashed in on Brock, that would have been absolutely huge. but no, we did this last week, and now it made it worse.
Yeah, we did. So that was it. So that was Hell in the Cell. Coming up, I mean, there's a few pay-per-views. Well, there's a few events coming up, isn't there, guys? So we'll over the coming weeks, we will talk about the Women's Evolution pay-per-view, the event in Australia, and obviously there's the whole Saudi thing as well. So they're coming up in the next few weeks, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to be busy. That's pretty much it. I'm not sure what we've got on next week, but I think the Aussie one would be the week after. Maybe we get Alex on for that one. Obviously, big wrestling fan. I don't think he's been on yet, but if we get Alex on for his home show, we might get some good input from there.
Oh, there you go. What we're extending the invite to one Alex Barilaro. Barilaro. Invite's going out to you, buddy. And we're also, at some point over the next few weeks, listeners, we are going to be doing a little special on the whole cruiserweight division. It'll be like an in-focus show. So we're going to talk about the cruiserweight division within the WWE, what we think it's where it is, what we could do with it, how we could improve it. So anybody out there with any suggestions, how you would take it forward, feel free to contact us on Twitter. We are at PW_index. So please do get in touch. So yeah, like you said, Guy, it's going to be a busy few weeks ahead.
Yeah. And that's the way we like it, isn't it? I know the split pay-per-view thing wasn't great for the few years we had it, but more events the better. It's just a shame some of them are in countries that aren't great, but that's not for wrestling pods, that's for a political pod.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, so that has been your Hell in a Cell review. And like we say, we've got a few things coming up over the next few weeks. And please do get in touch with us with any of your suggestions of what you would do with the WWE Cruiserweight division. And we will get to talking about that at some point in the very near future. But until then, from us, from myself and from Guy, thank you all for listening. Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.